Hi, I'm Madigan.
And I'm Christina.
And you're listening to
Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist.
You guys, I'm not with Keegan, clearly. I am with our friend Christina.
Hi.
She is with Keegan and our other friend Cassie on the podcast, My Worst Date. I feel like Keegan doesn't want to like self-promote too much.
I know, so she's so modest.
I know, so modest, that girl. She's just so full of talents, though. So she'll mention it every once in a while, but her other podcast is fantastic. Cassie and Christina are both wonderful people.
Yay! Thank you.
And I'm so excited to be recording with Christina. Keegan and Cassie actually both are on a cruise right now.
They left us by ourselves.
I know. I can't. Guys, I'm like having withdrawals. Like, I bounce everything off of Keegan.
Right.
I text her multiple times a day, every day, and she's not here.
I know. A week without them, I'm like going through withdrawal for sure.
But it makes me happy that I've gotten to hang out with you twice now.
Yeah,
girl. Like, after we recorded last time, we ended up talking for like 2 hours. So speaking of recording last time, because you're like, what? There wasn't another episode. We are redoing it because I didn't check the mic setting. We did do a test and it sounded fine. I just thought that maybe my voice, like I was just talking lower. And I went to edit and it was awful. It was awful.
It was quite a difference between, I mean, I loved
Christina
how loud I was.
Sounded impeccable. If it was just Christina, it would have been gold. Podcast gold. But no, I sounded awful. So we are redoing it. We're going to do the same topics and add a little bit more as well to kind of update the news a little bit.
Right.
So yeah, that's my bad. This is what happens when Keegan's not here.
Yeah, it's Keegan's fault.
It's Keegan's fault.
I'm down with that.
We've decided. It's not my fault. It's not your fault. It's all because of Keegan. And she's not here to defend herself, so it's fine.
She'll beat me up later.
Exactly. No, she'll beat me up. Are you kidding me? She's like, what do you mean? Okay, so the first thing we're going to talk about is Omarosa. And has this died down in the last few days, or are people still chatting about it?
People are still chatting about it. I mean, the thing that really got me revved up, which happened after we talked last time, is, well, maybe it didn't happen.
Oh, I know what you're going to say. It did come out the next day.
Calling her a dog.
Yep, I know. As soon as I read that, I was like, damn, I wish you could have talked about that.
Yeah.
And here we are.
I just find that disgusting on so many levels.
Well, what was he called her a lowlife. There was something else that was like definitely like a racial slur that he called her.
The dog, I mean.
There was something else that he said too that we were both just like, eesh.
The language used, the level of discourse, I can't even wrap my head around it.
Well,
it makes me so sick. And he's consistently been like that.
That's what I'm saying. Is it's like
no
amazing.
No respect for the office of president. No respect for anything.
Or for anybody. And
right.
Omarosa even said that like Donald Trump has no authority really in the White House. Like he kind of, I think, is like made to think that he has all the authority.
Right.
But like he doesn't make any of the decisions. Like they kind of like fill him in on things and he just like signs his name. Even the chief of staff, what's his face? His first name. John Kelly?
Mm-hmm.
Is that his name?
Yep.
I feel like I had a friend, John Kelly. He even said, like, he doesn't run the White House. I do. Because Omarosa, so basically what happened originally, the beginning of this whole story, is that John Kelly brought Omarosa into the quote-unquote situation room, which I said last time, sounds like you're putting a child in timeout. Like, do you want to go to the situation room?
Oh, see, I love that you're thinking of it this way. I'm, like, putting, maybe because I have a date tonight, I'm like, I totally want to go to the situation room.
Oh, what's the situation? Maybe it's because I take care of children.
And I'm like, 50 Shades stuff.
I know. Man. Oh, God. Mine's the opposite. Mine's like, go to your chair, go to the situation room, sit in your chair, let's figure the situation out.
Exactly.
You're in trouble.
Oh, my mind's in the gutter.
Yeah. Ooh, I love it, though. I need my mind more. My mind is in the gutter, but my mind needs to be more in the gutter. So she turned her phone on to record this conversation, and apparently she's been known to record a lot of conversations, and people are really getting on her about that because you shouldn't be recording in the White House. But she made a really good point about being the only person of color, the only woman of color in the White House. And if John Kelly, who she says she's never spoken with before, brings you into the situation room,
mm-hmm.
she said to protect herself, she started recording.
Well, I mean, it's like it's fucking lawless in the White House right now. So it's like all bets are off. Like, this isn't a surprise.
There's no safety.
There's no safety. Yeah. There's no people. There are people recording each other. It's like backstabbing, all kinds of crazy stuff.
It's so high school.
This is our government.
I know. It's insane.
It's insane.
I know. I'm just waiting for 2020. My God. So she recorded this whole conversation, and he's like, let's make this a friendly departure. And she's like, does the president know about this? And he, you know, gives her the whole spiel about how, like, the president doesn't need to be, like, a part of it or whatever. So she's, like, trying to ask him questions and all this stuff, and he's just like, not having. He's like, we can talk another time. But she goes, well, this is my first time ever speaking to you. And if I'm being let go, I have some things that I want to make clear. And she's probably really sounding sweet because it's recorded. She knows she's probably going to use it. But she's really just kind of like, can you please just give me some information, please? And he's just like, no. Won't give her the time of day. So she contacts Donald Trump. And he's like, I'm so sorry. I didn't, like, mean for this to happen. I'm so sad that you're leaving.
Right, yeah.
And then it goes sour. It goes very sour because she releases these recordings. And Donald Trump then tweets, Wacky Omarosa, who got fired 3 times on The Apprentice, now got fired for the last time. She never made it, never will. She begged me for a job, tears in her eyes. I said, okay. People in the White House hated her. She was vicious, but not smart. Which to me, I'm like, what do you mean? That doesn't seem like a comparison. Anyways, I would rarely see her, but heard really bad things. Nasty to people, and would constantly miss meetings and work. When General Kelly came on board, he told me she was a loser and nothing but problems. I told him to try working it out if possible, because she only said great things about me until she got fired. Yeah. It's just, it's a shit show. Like, they're friends until something comes out, and then everything. It's like, well, he said this. And the other thing that was really important that came out was that she has a book coming out, like, tomorrow or something like that. Where she talks about how the past 2 years she's been battling over, she wants to uncover this tape of him saying the N-word. Which I'm like, girl, do you really think that he hasn't said it?
Right, yeah.
That seemed bizarre to me.
Who's shocked by that revelation?
I'm not shocked.
Yeah.
There's not millions of tapes of him saying it, really? Right. Like, that blows my mind. And I listened to this podcast called Meet the Press, and the guy even says, like, you've heard him say things, like, about Mexicans being rapists and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And she's like, yeah, but I always thought that he, you know, because he cared about me, he had, like, people of color in his corner, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you're dumb. And she does admit to being complicit and that she really didn't want to believe that her friend would be a racist. So it's kind of like she was just shoving it aside, like, knew it, but, like, didn't want to believe that he was racist. And this was really helping her career out to, like, bring her back.
Yeah, I just think she's an opportunist.
She is.
I think she's a liar. I think she's an opportunist. I think it's just another string of stupid things that Donald Trump has done. Like, what did you think was going to happen with someone like that? She's behaving exactly the same way that she was on the reality TV show she was
as
on.
As is Donald Trump.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so she was like the villain of The Apprentice.
Yeah.
And she keeps defending herself, saying, like, you have to look after yourself as the only black woman in the office. On the tape, Kelly threatens to damage her reputation and says, everyone works for me and not the president. And Omarosa basically in this interview too just talks about how Donald Trump is just too stupid to be president. But it's like, if you knew all these things, like, why?
Why? Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we know why. It's to gain money. Her own. Yeah, and it's to gain her own thing. But, like, she has been paid off basically to keep quiet. And this original, like, form she signed when she was, like, being quote-unquote hired by the White House,
mm-hmm.
like, wasn't a specific job title or anything. And
right.
So she was like, what? And they were like, yeah, but, like, you don't have to, you can work from home. Like, you don't have to come to the White House. And, like, you don't even have to work if you don't want to. And she's like, what? So, like, they made it seem like they were hiring her so that they could pay her
right.
to not say shit and to get her on their side and keep her happy.
Wasn't it like 15 grand a month?
It was too? Something crazy like that. Yeah. And so she's at the White House.
Update my LinkedIn.
Right, exactly. Because she like wants to be a part of everything. She's like, I'm here. I'm at the White House here with my phone recorder, just waiting to get some juicy thing. And like she's writing a book. So of course she's like, ooh, what's gonna happen today that right. I can put in my book? So that's basically pretty much the update on the whole Omarosa thing. The fact that he called her a dog is so infuriating.
It's gross.
But the fact that it's like it's not a surprise anymore. It hurts every time I read something like that and I have a sense of disbelief for like a second. And then I'm like, "What, guys, this isn't news anymore. Donald Trump is a racist is not new information."
Right. And not only that, the way that it's changed, I think the way that we all converse online and the profound effect that it's had is just, I mean...
Oh, I mean,
the moral authority of the office has been completely shit upon. The open racism
is absurd. The open sexism is crazy. I mean, I've spoken about this before. Having a feminist podcast and Instagram page especially, we get so many horrible comments and messages from people that it doesn't even make any sense. It's like they just want to put their two cents in, and it's like, I don't know, it's crazy. And it's so frustrating. It's like all of the racists are like freed.
Yeah. And now on an even more sad note, I told you before we started today that I'm kind of bummed out because of Aretha Franklin.
I know.
And it's such a so it's funny we're talking about Donald Trump because I spent a lot of today, like, you know, rewatching President Obama's inauguration in 2008.
Yeah.
And the song that she sang. And, you know, he had her perform at the White House a lot. Not only that, it made me think one of the other huge differences between President Obama and Trump was how much Obama supported the arts and culture.
Yeah.
And I guess I didn't realize that until like looking through all of the things they regularly invited artists to the White House.
Yeah.
And it's just, it elevates. It's such a huge part of society when you embrace the arts and just to see that complete 180 shift, how quickly, I mean.
Yeah, how fast.
How fast. Yeah. And it made me sad, especially because, you know, right now, she was such a huge voice of, you know, the civil rights movement. She's such a huge inspiration to me, like, as an artist. I can clearly, like, feel her song, I Never Loved a Man.
Yeah.
I jam that still all the time. It's on a playlist on my phone. It's one of the most visceral. Yeah, we all have those
songs where, like, you have the same song on every playlist.
Yeah.
Because you need that song.
Yeah. And a story that I remember, because I watch music documentaries, like, obsessively.
Yeah.
Is that she was working with all of these musicians, and it just wasn't working to record this song. And they finally were like, well, you just sit down and play it. And so she took it on. And just sat at the piano and just chills. The power.
Right. Because no one else could understand.
For women of color. I mean, she basically, like, desegregated radio, you know, with her bringing her sound to.
Well, and she brought, like, a gospel pure sound into popularity.
Right.
You know? She was fantastic. I was so sad to hear this morning that she passed away. I've been, you know, on the radio today, I've been hearing everybody talk about it, and they've been playing her music, and that makes me really happy, is that we celebrate those people when they pass. So I'm glad that we got to give her the time that she deserved on the show today. And, you know, I said on Instagram today, rest in respect.
That's so great.
Girl.
And everyone, you know, she made that song her own, because that's actually an Otis Redding song.
Right, it was like a man's song. Yeah. Oh, yeah, but everybody knows it as.
As her song.
As hers. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's tons of songs like that. Like, it's, you always think that it's someone's original, and then you look at the history, and you're like, wait. Like, the Beatles did it, and Aretha Franklin did it, Judy Garland did it. Like, I mean, I'm just thinking of all people that I really like.
Yeah.
But it's like, you go back, and you look at, like, the history of these songs, but, like, oh, and then I Will Always Love You, we always think of Whitney Houston, but it was Dolly Parton. You know, mm-hmm. It's interesting.
Yeah.
So... But yeah, she was a powerhouse and such a force, and she will be missed on this earth. And all I can hope is that people take her lead and follow by example.
Yeah.
And that hopefully there will just be more and more brilliant artists that can be civil rights activists in this day and age, because we need it. We really need it.
No, her song Respect was a huge civil rights anthem.
And feminist anthem as well. Yeah.
And that's what we need right now, in a time where it's dark and where the arts aren't necessarily supported or celebrated or, you know, praised or even, you know, money-wise, you know, it's scarce. It's being cut out of schools and everything. That's the kind of thing that we really need to focus on right now, because art is what moves people, whether it be music or whatever medium that it takes its form in.
Yeah.
Fierce, be creative.
Don't give it up.
Inspired. So thank you to Aretha for being someone that inspired me.
Definitely. What were the other two things that we talked about? We talked about
Chris Hardwick.
Let's talk about that a little bit. So he is coming back to his shows.
Yeah, he's back on Talking Dead. He's back on whatever that NBC show was, The Wall or something like that.
Okay, The Wall is the shit. It's such... I'm sure it's not as entertaining to watch at home, but I used to work audience for The Wall, and I would watch three shows a day for like 5 days a week.
Uh-huh.
And I never got tired of it. Me and my friend Kyle worked audience, and that was like our shit.
What is it?
It's so good. So like basically they pick... like a person who's doing something really wonderful for the community or for the world, or like it's always something really meaningful, so it tugs your heartstrings.
Yeah.
And then they play like trivia basically, but then you also have like this ball, and you have to balls to the wall.
Okay.
And there's 1 through 10 up above, kind of like Connect Four.
Okay.
Looks kind of like that, and you pick which slot you want the ball to go in, and then it drops down, and then it has to land on a certain number.
Plinko.
Very much so. So the higher the number, the more money you get, the lower the number. But like sometimes you'll put it in the 1 and it'll land in the 10. The, you know, medium zone, like if you drop it in the middle, that's like the safe zone. But you have to get the question right. So let's say you're not really sure about the answer to your question, you're not going to put it in the 10 slot. You're going to put it in like the 1 or 2 slot. So you're not going to lose much money.
Okay.
I've seen other people walk home with nothing, and it's heartbreaking. I've seen other people walk away with $1 million, and it's amazing.
Oh my God.
And, you know, the thing that I mentioned when we recorded the first time about Chris Hardwick that made me so mad was because in between they have these like stand-up comedians who warm up the audience and play games and like do stuff like that. And I had played a cup because I worked it like every day because I was broke. So we were like playing like a trivia game basically. It was like a music. It was like guess that song kind of thing.
Okay.
And he was like fucking unreal. Like could guess every song in the first like 2 seconds.
Wow.
And I kept messing up. So he started like jumping in for me. And he was just so funny. And like I got like... I don't know. He just was always in such a great mood and like so happy and wonderful. And so when you hear things like that, when you think highly of somebody, it just sucks. Yeah. But I'm glad that it came out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's hard. No one person is completely bad or completely good. You know, it's not black and white. We all live in gray. And of course, even the best people can sometimes be behind closed doors monsters.
Yeah.
And not to say he is one, but I mean,
well, you know. Even said, like, I hope the person you are now can apologize to the person you were then. Like, I think she even recognizes that, like, this was a while ago. Maybe you've grown since then.
Right.
Which we can all hope for. But something else that we touched on last time that I think is important to talk about, we talked about how people think of levels of abuse.
Oh, yeah.
And with the Chris Hardwick situation, it was emotional and sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when it comes to emotional and sexual abuse in a relationship, it is not looked at as the same as physical domestic violence.
Or even that kind of abuse when it's not within a relationship.
Yeah.
When it's like, you know, a Harvey Weinstein, when he's like, you know, above this, like, co-worker or something.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's within the confines of a relationship
where
sometimes people blur the lines.
Yeah, and there could still be, you know, a power thing. We talked about how, oh, hi, Tig. Isn't the puppy. We talked about how his girlfriend at the time, like, wasn't as much of a name. Maybe she was at the time, but I've never really heard of her.
I still haven't. I don't really know where she's from.
I think she was, like, in the industry in some way, shape, or form. But he's been in it for a long time and known.
Right.
So there is like a power dynamic going on that even within a relationship, you know, we mentioned this in the Red Pill episode where, like, you know, the housewife is home all day. The man, even if he's just like a garbage worker, will come home and still have some authority over the wife because
he
is making money and she is not.
Which, that episode is wild.
Did you listen to it? Did you like it? Oh my God. I really liked it too. It's one of my favorites. I'm sorry. I stopped petting him for 1 second. He's like, what the fuck, Madigan? Keep petting my ears.
Very bossy. Sorry.
I love dog ears. They're my favorite. I love just pulling them little.
Velvet.
Like velvet. Doggy ears. So yeah, it was really upsetting for me, but I'm glad that that type of abuse is being looked at because we all need to check ourselves when we start ranking people's abuse, kind of like how we did with Aziz Ansari's situation. It is important to understand that there are levels, in that sense, because Aziz Ansari is not Harvey Weinstein.
Right.
But we do have to understand that each person's situation is equally painful for them. And that by them coming forward, it shows strength. It doesn't show, you know, they're not blaming people. You know, she didn't seem like she wants to take down his career, clearly, because you said she's not.
She's not involved in the investigation. And so I think her quote was like, it was never my intent to ruin this man's career.
Right. She just wanted her story to be told.
Right.
Which I think is important. I think that if there's anybody who's listening who feels like they've had their power taken away, something for me that I've been like thinking about is where it's so hard to like name the person who's hurt you. Just like within your friends to like mention somebody and mention their name, where I feel like it's important for us to be naming names of people.
Okay, a couple weeks ago on our last episode, there was not a story by me on our podcast, and it's because I completely cut it out.
Yeah.
I chickened out of being able to actually name names.
Yeah.
And so then I was like, I don't know who I'm helping.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel, you know, feel brave. I don't feel whatever.
But it's so also because there's completely. Something, because there's something in our minds where we feel that we are going to be chastised for mentioning names. Not for the other person having their lives ruined. It's because we are scared that by saying the name of the person, that it'll somehow come back to us and make us look bad.
Well, and that's fucked up. I guarantee you that her career has definitely been hurt.
For sure.
By this.
For sure.
For sure.
Because anyone who looks at, you know, her name for any resume is going to, you know, look her up on Google, see this, and be like, and come up with their own reasons why she shouldn't be hired.
Exactly.
Or why they shouldn't be involved with her in some way.
Right.
You know? And, like, it's the same thing where, like, oh, guys, don't date her. She's crazy and blah, blah, blah. It's just, I'm glad that the women of the world are starting to come together and encourage each other to speak up. Because, guys, at the end of the day, if you don't have your girlfriends, who do you have?
Nobody.
It's important.
There you go.
They're so important. They really are. So, the last thing that we talked about.
That terrible fucking show.
Christina. Now I've seen the trailer when we're talking about it. I haven't seen the show yet, but
You've seen the trailer now,
I've
though.
I've seen the trailer.
Okay, so.
And every time I turn on Netflix, sorry, to introduce the show.
Insatiable. It's a new Netflix show. It just came out. It's starring like Alyssa Milano and then
Debbie Ryan.
Yeah.
Who I just think of The Suite Life of Zack and Cody.
Gotcha.
Disney Channel.
So, yeah. I saw the trailer.
Walk us through the trailer, Christina. Pretend okay. I haven't seen it. Explain it to me.
Okay. Debbie Ryan dons a terrible fat suit.
And she's still gorgeous, by the way.
Yes.
Like, fat suit or not, like, she still looks fucking stunning.
To play Patty, a.k.a. Fatty Patty, who is made fun of in high school and is just basically bullied and tormented. I mean, it's like over
which
the
is
top
awful.
And so cliche.
I'm sure, like, it's over the top, but it is horrible how yeah. people that are overweight are treated badly.
Yeah. And so then she is really sad. She's sitting outside a convenience store eating a candy bar, which a homeless man tries to take from her. So she punches him. He punches her back and she has her jaw wired shut. She loses a whole bunch of weight and gets to come back to high school as the hot girl. And so this is what this trailer is basically saying. All of your power and everything that's good about you is your looks.
Yep. And even more specifically, your weight.
Yeah.
Because you hear all the time, oh, she's pretty for a big girl.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's pretty for a fat girl. No, she's just pretty. She's pretty. End of story. It doesn't matter what your body type is. And my loyal listeners know how much this shit drives me insane. And the fact that Alyssa Milano has backed it up and been like, oh, it's 12 hours of television. You can't base it off of the trailer. It's like, no.
No.
Because you watched the first episode. So tell us about it.
I watched the first episode. We had... I can't even begin to describe how many problematic things were happening. It's almost like they were trying to go for, like, let's just offend, like,
everybody.
And let's be super, super lowbrow. And it's like, if you want to go that way, that's a hard route to take. And your writing has to be so clever.
You have
your
to
writing
be.
Writing has to be.
You have to be, like,
point.
Family Guy.
Yeah.
Like, Family Guy offends all the time, but it's Family Guy, and they say it in a certain way where you're just kind of like, should I be upset? I don't
know. These are just bad.
Yeah,
it's
well,
bad
what are some
acting,
of the what are some of the lines
joke.
That you were saying?
I don't even remember the lines. I mean, Fatty Patty, that was, like, the one
yeah.
thing. They have her, like, who becomes her, like, best friend is this lawyer who is also a beauty pageant coach,
mm-hmm.
who's been, like, the wink, wink, nudge, nudge joke of the whole thing is that he's always being accused of child molestation.
Yeah. That's not funny.
No.
And you shouldn't be friends with child molesters,
no.
in case you didn't know.
And it's also just not something that's, like, jokey,
no.
you know, like, at all.
No, and not that, and you shouldn't be showing him as, like, a good guy.
Yeah. It's so weird. It's
maybe
so
are they trying
weird.
To show, like, that she's wrong and he's wrong? Like, are they not? Are they anti-heroes? I don't know.
Maybe either.
Maybe I'm cutting them too much slack.
No, I think you are. I think we are thinking way more about this than anybody that was involved.
Yeah,
in the
they
show
were like,
is
"This is gonna
it.
Be funny. Let's do this." And then what was the other, like, they make a lot of horrible, like, lesbian jokes too, right?
Yeah.
About her friend.
Yeah. Her friend is, like, in love with her. And so it's, like, constantly, like, you can make out if you want. Or, you know,
yeah.
like, just, it's just so awkward.
It's really weird because in my acting life, I play lesbians 95% of the time.
Yeah.
Probably more like 98 now because I don't really do any acting. But when I do, I'm always a lesbian. And I just did a lesbian audition the other day. And it's interesting the different... like, scripts that I get.
Yeah.
And
oh,
how
I'm sure.
tasteful they are or untasteful. Or just, like, how... Not even, like, tasteful or untasteful, but just how much knowledge they have of it, where it's, like, super cliche, not cliche. And I'm just really upset about Netflix because they come out with such powerful, wonderful content.
Yeah.
To come out with this show and have your name on it is so, like... cringeworthy.
Well, and the show is obviously geared toward teenagers, which makes it even worse
even
in
worse.
My head.
Imagine being somebody who is maybe overweight and has always had these thoughts about themselves. It's also perpetuating the whole don't eat and you'll get skinny thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And
which
it's
is
like,
not true for some people.
No, and they're not, and she's not showing, like, exercising or eating healthy or anything like that to lose weight in a healthy way. It's a mind-body connection. And sometimes even your body will not communicate with you, you know what I mean, with right, what you're yeah. doing. It's just the way your body is. I mean, I knew a girl who had suffered from anorexia for like almost 20 years, and her metabolism had shut off. So she was a heavier girl, but never ate.
Oh, geez.
And she was just in turmoil, complete turmoil, because she, in the beginning of her disease, it was working for her. And it's not working anymore, but I can't eat because if I eat, then I'm going to get even bigger. You know, it's this whole whirlwind of things. So to show somebody who's like, oh yeah, the trick to all of this is get your mouth wired shut. You can't eat for 3 months. All the weight is going to magically fall off of you. Like, no.
Well, and also just to propagate that whole fantasy that like, oh, once you're hot, like you have power, you can get revenge, you can... You have
which
worth.
I think in
you
this day and age is and, true, but it's and that's what's so fucked
sad.
Up.
It's so fucking sad, and I hate that message being out there. I hate little girls having to see that kind of thing and navigate their way through that
and
bullshit.
I am so mad at every single actor who took on that project, at the director who decided this was a good idea. I'm mad at everybody involved, to be honest. And it is
I don't care
sickening.
If it's a joke or not. We don't need more of those jokes out there. Those jokes, that message has been shouted at women loud and clear
and what,
for fucking years.
And she's going to like kill everybody now because they were like mean to her.
Yeah, I don't know.
In the world of gun violence, it's like, don't do that either. Like, just because somebody bullies you, you can't just kill them. Like, that's not how life works, people.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like trash. And like I said, I would love to hear Alyssa Milano like explain it. Because like I said, the trailer was one thing, but I actually watched the first episode and I'm like, all right, stand up then and explain yourself.
Yeah, give me some bullet points.
I don't get this at all.
It's awful. So don't watch it.
Or rage watch it.
But then again, they're like, oh, look at all these views.
I know.
If it gets picked up for season two, I'm going to be fucking pissed.
Yes.
Man. Actually, I was... how much time do we have? Okay, I was actually thinking, so lovely Vanessa, who you know.
Yes.
She writes us in so many wonderful messages, and we do have one from her that I would like to read.
Aww. Hi, Vanessa.
So she wrote in some comments about episode 29. She goes, which I think is our swearing episode. Yes, women who swear.
Mm-hmm.
Hi. I just finished episode 29 about swearing, and I wanted to chime in on women cursing in the workplace. I work in technology, and it is a very male-dominated industry. It's also a very casual industry, where there is often drinking at the workplace, definitely swearing, casual dress code, the whole nine. Being one of the few women at my office, also a woman in leadership, I find that I use swearing more as a relational tactic to create a common ground at the office. I also find that I swear more with men than the women that I work with. So for me, it's almost something that I put on or that I am more intentional about at the office. I will say that I do curse a lot, but I find as I was listening and thinking about it, it's definitely more targeted and more intentional when I'm at work, and that's because the industry and the environment. And I think when I'm speaking to the women that I work with, if I happen to curse, that's fine. It just comes out. It's more authentic. There's plenty I can say about how problematic I think the tech industry is and this movement towards more casual work environment and diversity in the workplace. For now, I just wanted to offer a different perspective as I definitely curse more than the men that I work with and the women, but there's also way more men that I work with. Love, V. So she brings up basically something that we talked about in the episode about cursing in the workplace and how that is a like team building thing. Like it creates like relationships and community in the office. So I think by her being a woman and by being like a leader in the office, that makes sense because she wants to put people at ease.
Yeah.
She wants people to be able to express themselves. And that's to me kind of what that seems like. If you're like, for me, I'll take the lead. If I hear like my boss swearing, then I know if the kid's not around, I can say something, you know?
Right. No, I feel the same way. You know, I work higher up now too, you know, coming from the bottom, being a server, you know, we all cussed all the time. And then, right. you know, you get higher and higher
up. You're at like the bottom of the barrel.
The HR stuff comes to mind, and you have to be really cognizant because, I mean, people are sensitive to language.
Right.
And if you are in an office, which is difficult for me, is because I swear a lot in my right. normal day-to-day conversation.
But
her
office is like, she's in tech, where it does tend to be, from what I understand and what I've witnessed, it can be a little bit more casual and
right.
swearing happens. I feel like it's different. Like when I was working in production, I wasn't swearing through my emails, but if I said a swear word during a meeting or something, for me, I was the lower level, so I wouldn't swear until somebody else would, and that gave me the okay.
Right.
You know, and even then I'd be very careful of my words.
Yeah.
But you know, we also talked about how it takes somebody intelligent to be able to swear in a crafty way, in an intelligent way. And I think also, you know, she's talking about that's a way to like communicate with her male coworkers. I feel like for women, it's typically easier to communicate with each other because
yeah.
you're in it together, especially in a male dominated field.
Absolutely.
So you don't have to put on a facade.
No, because yeah. you're already there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Just feel each other, you know?
Yeah.
So, Christina, I had so much fun with you again.
Yay, I know.
I'm so happy that we're friends now.
I know.
Oh, my God.
It took a boat
and the rest of our friends to leave.
No, that sounds so bad.
Well, you're the only one here. Let's be friends, I guess. No.
No.
That's
no,
not
this
it.
This is good.
It just beautifully brought us together. I got to
yes.
meet your two wonderful little animals.
I know. Who really love you. They're
yeah.
all about it.
You guys are being so good.
I know.
Little tig and little villain.
Yeah.
So, Christina, do you remember our sign-off?
Yes.
Okay. So, with that, we encourage you to
rage on.
Yay! I love it. Bye, guys.